May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. What did I get myself into? I'm sure most of us have asked ourselves that question at some time or another. I know I did on Tuesday when I realized I was preaching this morning. In today's gospel, Jesus lets us know what we are getting into. And he sets some harsh expectations for discipleship. Hate family and even life. Give up all our possessions. Carry the cross. 3 weeks ago, Father Brockman addressed the contradiction of the Prince of Peace, saying he had come to sow division. Today, we are left with a similar question. How is Jesus, whose message, whose commandment is love, telling us to hate? In their commentary on today's gospel, Reginald Fuller and Daniel Westberg point out that the word hate is a bit harsh, and that it has been suggested that the original Aramaic can be translated as merely love less than, which is a bit weak. But the disciple must be willing to give up those aspects of their old life which get in the way of following Jesus. Jesus seems to be warning the crowd to consider carefully the path he is leading them down. Will they be able to withstand whatever lies ahead? We are now at a time of new beginnings. As a teacher, Labor Day weekend always marked not the end of summer, but the beginning of a new year. Here at St. James, programs resume or become more active. Our Sunday school will begin next Sunday. Our Building a Beloved Community team will be getting back to work. Next month, our diocese will be welcoming a new bishop. And of course, the obvious new beginning here at St. James is our transition process. On Wednesday, our parish will meet with representatives from the diocesan Office of Transition to hear what the process and expectations for our near future as a parish might be. The illustrations of assessing the cost that Jesus cites today struck me as to speaking to where we are as a parish. Although I am not currently on the vestry, I know for a fact that each member of the vestry prayerfully worked long and hard to sit down and estimate the cost of the various options the parish was presented with, to see whether there was enough financial and human resources to complete the tower we are hoping to build. When faced with the uncertainty and expectations of a new beginning, let us go with Jeremiah down to the potter's house. We are being reworked into another vessel. A potter working with clay can rework the clay any number of times. The clay remains the same material, but the form it takes can change. It is not until it is fired, until it is dried in the kiln, that the clay solidifies into its final form. Do we as Christians, and do we as a church, ever really reach the point where we are ready to be fired into something unchangeable? The willingness to grow, individually and collectively, is crucial to our journey of faith. While clay can be molded and shaped as much as the potter wishes, the potter's vessel must be hardened in its final form in order to be functional. But once hardened and useful, it can also be broken. So too, in our lives, there are times when we feel broken, not being reworked as potter's clay, but broken in pieces. Perhaps we feel some of this as a parish. What use is the broken pottery? Is it just ready to be discarded? Let us instead look to mend the broken pieces. There are advertisements for glue products that boast how such things can be repaired virtually invisibly, so that the brokenness is completely hidden and things look like new. Instead, consider the Japanese art of kintsugi, which repairs the broken pottery with gold or silver. The breakage and repair is not concealed, but rather illuminated. It embraces the breakage. It highlights the history of the item, its usefulness, and finds beauty and value in its history and its future. Whether we are being reformed from the clay that is our essence, or being repaired or repairing the broken pieces of a useful and beautiful plate, we are not always in control. We will have a role in what is to come. We are the hands that work the clay. We are the hands that mend the broken pieces. But Jeremiah tells us very clearly that God is the potter. And so we are confident that we will be reformed into a vessel that seems good to God, that our brokenness will be made whole and beautiful. And we will say with the psalmist, "I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it well." Amen.